I've been preaching on the street for
since 1983, and I have learned that warm coffee with cream and sugar really soothes my throat. So that's what I use. Amen. All right.
Those are fish. We all like fish.
Yeah, those are my pets. I don't have animals or anything, so I take my pets around as I go. I have to wait to do that because if I put it on and then it goes into pause mode, it just messes up completely. So anyway, that's it right there. By the grace of God, the doors have been open for my wife and I to go to Zimbabwe, Africa. And folks, I tell you, it's a great and effectual door has been opened up to us. And it's really unbelievable because we're talking about a country that's the exact opposite of America. And this is a country that wants God, they want His book, and they want to know about salvation. And it's totally opposite of how we live today in this country. Zimbabwe has 14 million souls, and this is where it's located, right above South Africa. But you notice where that equator is? And you notice we're right below the equator. Now listen, if I was going to put a dot on there where we are in America, we'd be up around the top of the screen somewhere, up above in here somewhere. That's how far above the equator we are. So folks, you know how warm it is down there? I mean, it's snowing today, okay? But listen, y'all really going to have to pray for me, okay? Because it's like 70, 80 degrees year round there. And I don't know if I can handle that. All right, that's my sense of humor right there. All right, there we go, Zimbabwe. You got South Africa on the bottom, Mozambique, Zambia, Botswana, and then Harare is the capital. Kigoma is where we'll be living. That blue water in between Zimbabwe and Zambia is a big lake, and it goes into, I believe, it's Queen Victoria Falls. It's a big tourist attraction. I've never been there myself. But this is where we'll be living in Kigoma. And y'all know Bill Eubanks?
Yeah, he's back here.
Okay, Bill Eubanks called me up one day on the phone about a year and a half ago, and he said, "Brother Russell," he said, "I need you to come and help me evangelize the bush in Zimbabwe." And I said, "The bush, huh?" So, you know, I'm thinking the bush. You know, I'm thinking them old safari movies, you know, lions and tigers, and we all got our big guns, and we're out there chasing grass and everything, you know. But folks, that's the bush. That's it right there. See all them trees? Those are all thorn trees. So it ain't like you just gonna go running through the bush. Amen. And there's no lions, there's no tigers, there's no giraffes. During the 70s, they had a revolution. They kicked all the whites out, and all the nationals took over the bush. And they either killed all the animals or they pushed them off into reserves. So right now, about the only thing you're gonna see in the bush are baboons and monkeys. We did see three zebras there one time. So that's the bush. But see, we're not going through there to run through the bush anyway, amen. You see that man on that road? He's on the broad road of destruction, amen. He doesn't have no idea where he's going. And folks, we're there to tell those people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you see that little white dot behind that guy? That actually is a little Mazda pickup. You can cram 10, 15 people in that thing. And they fly down them roads about 80 miles an hour. You just got to hang on, amen. If you've ever been to a third world country, they're all the same, folks. They're all the same. But y'all notice any green grass anywhere?
Yeah.
Okay, Zimbabwe has two seasons. They have a hot season and they have a rainy season. It rains from December to May, and then it does not rain from May to December. All right, so right now in Zimbabwe, they're having one of the worst droughts they've had in a long, long time. And that lake I showed you that run into Queen Victoria Falls, it's only half full. And it's really affecting the fishing and the agriculture and everything. So they really need prayer on that part because it's really dry where it should be nice and green. This is just the bush right there. Just endless hours and hours of driving on these dirt roads. And I just put a few pictures in here. Just am I on a time limit?
No, people probably leave you too, but you're not on time.
Okay. Well, that's fine, but that's more than enough time. This is just different topography, and there are no mountains, but there is a big rock every now and then, you know, shooting up out of the country. And but this is your average village right here, your average home out in the mud. And it used to be that they used to make their houses out of mud with grass roofs. Now they make them out of brick. And I saw a lot of houses, they'd make their own little mud kiln and dry the bricks. They'd make the bricks and dry them in their own little ovens. Then they just build their own houses. Everybody still uses grass for the roofs, because grass is free. You can go out in the bush and get all the grass you want. You just replace it every 2 or 3 years and you're good to go. And this is your average bush home right there. Now, you notice there's no electricity. So what do? You dig a hole in the ground, get your well going, there's your water. Because one thing about Zimbabwe is the water level at the beginning of summer is 3 foot below ground. There's no basins. And then by the end of summer, it's 6 foot down, so you just dig your hole a little bit deeper and you've got water. And that's how they do their gardening. They dig them up, you know, a 6 foot hole in the backyard, and they have water to water the garden, the plants, and so forth, the animals. And I put that picture in there because it's the only, I never saw a baby stroller the whole time I was there. And they always keep their babies on them like this. And I tell you what, the kids love it. They can feel mom's heartbeat, and it really brings them close together. And it might get a little hot, but see, they're used to heat anyway, amen. But now this lady right here, now she got kind of upset with me because she didn't want her picture taken. So I went ahead and took it anyway. I took it for you guys, amen. They used to have big clay pots. Now they've gone to 5 gallon buckets.
Amen.
But she was not a happy camper, I tell you that much. But they still carry everything on top of their head like that. And that right there, what is that? That right there is a feed in modern technology, amen. You say, what is it? Well, that's our shower. That's our bath. That 2 gallon bucket, amen. Now listen, you go out and work hard all day, and you just say, let's just say, you know, you don't really feel like getting all wet and everything, and you just sponge bath. You got a sponge, okay? Or if you're really hot and sweaty, man, you just pick that thing up and go for it, amen? Now he said, how can you live like that? Well, folks, honestly, that is not as bad as it seems. Listen, my grandparents, you know, used to live like that. I mean, we used to have an outhouse behind the house. Y'all remember outhouses? Yeah, they're probably famous around this part of the country, amen. Probably a few folks still have them, amen. But listen, that's not, you know, so a person asked me, well, why don't you just use the faucet and turn the faucet on? Well, because this time next week, if you turn it on, this time next week, you might get the bucket full. So what do? You just go out behind the house, get the well, and there you go, bucket of water, amen. And if you want to heat it up, if you want hot water, you just put it on the fire. You want to make you some... You want to make anything, a cup of tea or anything, you just put it on the fire, amen. And they have two main food groups. They have a plant that's like a kale, like a lettuce type plant. It grows about 2-3 foot tall. You just pick the leaves off of it. You can use it in salads, greens, anything you want. It's very nutritious. Then they eat a cornmeal mush. But it's not like the cornmeal that we make. It's a spongy kind of mush. And they eat it with their fingers. But now don't get me wrong, folks. We have a house in Kadoma where we have a little gas stove. Then we have a 500 gallon, yeah, I think it's 500 gallon water tank above the house that's painted black. So we have gravity fed water that's warm, and so it's not as bad as it sounds. This was some friends of ours that invited us over. This lady right there is like 89 years old, and her husband is a retired Baptist preacher. And they invited us over for a chicken dinner, okay? The 90% of the people in Zimbabwe are unemployed. This guy, this pastor, went out and bought a $7 chicken. Folks, that's a lot of money for chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, that's equivalent to American prices right there, unless you buy organic or something. But he went out, and they even didn't even go to the town. This is in the town. Was this Senyani? And they didn't even buy it in Senyani. They went to some other town. They got on the bus, drove 2 hours to another town, bought a chicken, and come back for us to have chicken dinner. Mm-hmm. Folks, that's really, I mean, that is really good. I mean, they really went above and beyond And so you know when they say when missionaries go over people's houses and they lay something in front of you, no matter what it is, you're supposed to eat it. Well, that could be the reason why, because they really went to great lengths. You don't spend a lot of money to feed your children. So it was a great honor to be there. You say, what's that right there? That's your John Deere tractor. That's the main form of transportation out there in the bush. Now, of course, they have cars and everything like that in the city. But that right there, folks, we are probably driving 2 hours on these dirt roads. And we come across these folks. Now, you know the good thing about this form of transportation? Is that they're not in no big hurry to go anywhere. Amen? So what do you do? We just pull over next to them, get out, give everybody gospel tracts. Why? Because that's why we're there. We're there to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he died for their sins. And folks, they're the sweetest, nicest folks you ever met in your life. And the thing about Zimbabwe is that they all speak English.
Amen.
Listen, if you go overseas, like someone's going to Vietnam, listen, if you don't know Vietnamese, you're hurt. All right? You go to Zimbabwe, and it's just like going to Montgomery City, Alabama, or going to Detroit. I mean, it's not a culture shock like you would think in other countries. Pretty much everybody knows English. We get right out talking to these men, give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see how skinny those cows are? Yeah. Well, you don't see any green grass anywhere. So see, right now, if you do a Zimbabwe thing on there, you'll see how bad the drought's hitting there. A lot of them are having to kill their own cattle and everything because they have no food. No water, no food, so it's getting pretty bad over there. In this country's just been in turmoil for the last 30, 40, 50 years. Just revolutions, revolts. Oh, folks, God has prepared them for salvation, for the gospel. I tell you what, they're ready. They're the nicest, sweetest people you ever met in your life. The country is divided into 8 regions, but the schools are divided into 10 regions. The schools are. There's 10 regions in Zimbabwe, and each region has 1,000 public schools. And we've been asked by the Board of Education to go in and preach the gospel to these schools. And this is Maurice on the left, and that's his dad, Tom Timba. Maurice Timba and Tom Timba, they're our interpreters. They do speak Shona, Mamukase, you know, Makadi, hi, how are you? But everybody speaks English, but there's 2 reasons we have interpreters, because the very young a lot of times don't know English, and the really old don't know English, so that way we have our bases covered. Plus, Tom Timbus, older gentleman, he knows the lay of the land. But we're going through the bush, and I'm saying, Tom, which way do we go? The road wise? It's just a little dirt trail, and it just takes a while. And I said, Tom, which way do we go? And he said, we'll just take the bigger path. And I said, well, Tom, they both look the same. He said, well, just take either one. We'll get there somehow. And we always do somehow. So Bill and I and my wife and Bill's wife, we've been driving down these dirt roads probably a good 3 hours, and we come across this school out in the middle of nowhere. Folks, you're driving in the bush, and it don't look like there's nobody around at all. And all of a sudden, here's a school out of nowhere, and there's hundreds and hundreds of kids there. And you're thinking, where do all these people come from? But they're just a little hut here, a little hut there, and they add up. So we thought, you know what, since we're here, let's just stop and see if they'll let us preach these kids. We went in there and talked to the head schoolmaster. And the head schoolmaster, you know what he told us? He said, you know what, I think our kids need to be more spiritual. And let all the kids out of school and let us preach to the kids. And here's all these kids, you see them? They're all looking at us. Why? Because, folks, we just had a carload of old folks just get out. But me and Bill both white-headed and everything. And folks, they ain't never seen white folks. Here's a bunch of old fogies get out of there, and they don't know what in the world is going on here. And they got all them kids out, and they get them all piled up for us. And look at all them kids. Now, folks, these kids ain't like your average kids in America. These kids are soft-hearted. They're having heart in their hearts to God and the Bible and Jesus Christ. And they get out there and they let us preach. And you notice I'm preaching there. You notice I don't have a tie on. They said, Brother Russell, don't wear a tie. And I said, well, why not? I said, you have a tie on. And they said, yeah, but you see, they won't believe me if I get up and preach. And I said, okay, but you have a tie on. Why can't I wear a tie? And he said, well, if you do, they won't believe you. He said, you see, they don't believe me anyway. If I wear a tie, they won't believe me anyway. But see, if you wear a tie, they won't believe you. And I said, okay, you know, that really breaks my heart. But it, my guess has something to do with politicians, amen. They're always wearing ties, always lying to folks. But they said, don't wear a tie. So I said, all right, that breaks my heart. And so anyway, I got up there and I preached the simplest, straightforward message about Jesus Christ dying for their sins and how Jesus Christ loved them and gave his life for them. And then I'll pray something like, you know, if you right now would like to know you have your sins forgiven, then please pray with me. And I don't force them to get saved. I don't force them to even pray. You don't even have to pray. But I say, if you want to get saved, then please pray with me. And look, there's a little girl here on the left right there. She got her hand up in there. Some of them are holding their hands like this praying. You say, well, how many of those kids do you think got saved? I don't know, folks, but if just one kid got saved, it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it right there. But these kids have such soft hearts. I would imagine quite a few of them get saved. And here we are in another school, and for some reason, all the pictures I took are from the same camera, but for some reason, the next five or six slides turned out fuzzy. I couldn't afford to leave them out. But here these kids are getting out of school. They're all coming out there. And here's the head schoolmaster. We carry boxes of tracts, and we give all the schoolmasters Bibles. And that schoolmaster's in there. You got him in that moon-shaped circle. And that first line is like 5, 6-year-old. The second line is like 7, 8, 9, whatever, 10, 11, 12. And it keeps going on. And he's up there, and I get up there, and I start preaching. And I'm outside. So, you know, you got, what, 200 or 300 kids out there. And you go, you know, the Bible says, and I'm up there preaching. I'm preaching about 5 minutes. And these kids in this first row, like 5 and 6 year old kids, man, they just start crying. And I'm thinking, good night, Lord, what are you doing here, man? These kids are under conviction. And these teachers, they all get together and they come running over and get these kids and shift them out and take them back to the classroom. I'm thinking, well, what in the world did they do that for? And come to find out, you know what I was doing? I was scaring them. They ain't never seen a white man before in their life. Now, here we come, I'm out there, the Bible says, ah! You know, they're thinking I'm some abominable snowman or something, you know. And I scared them. But I get up there preaching to them, and I tell them the same thing. You know, if you want to know you can have your sins forgiven and go to heaven, and I tell them about Jesus Christ dying for their sins, and folks, they all pray. They all bow their heads. Even the teachers are praying. It, folks, it's not like America. These folks have gone through a lot of turmoil and hardships, and the fields are wide under harvest, folks. Wide under harvest. And it is amazing what God's done. Now, you see, wouldn't that have been such a nice picture that come in focus? You see, you know why God did that? Because it ain't about me or my wife, it's about God. In Jesus Christ. He gets all the glory here, folks, because it's all Him. Every bit, 100% the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, you know what these kids are all excited about? They're excited about the fact that someone cares enough about them to come and give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, every time you all give the missions, whether whoever it is, then folks, you get rewards for that up in glory, because these kids, they're thankful. Why? Because there's still people that care enough about them to come send missionaries overseas, tell them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we at nighttime after we go to school, we try to go to 2 schools a day during the weekdays, during the dry season, during the rainy season. It's too muddy. At nighttime, we'll go to a little village. This little village had 3 houses in it, and we'll show a movie right up against the side of that house. We showed the movie of Jesus Christ dying for their sins, and Tom Timba. Now, it's too light in here, you can't tell it. But you see that little red spot kind of right in the center? That's a bullhorn. And Tom Tim was out there right when it started to get dark. And he's talking to him in Shona, saying, we're getting ready to show a movie about Jesus. And then about 15, 20 minutes later, you see a little flashlight being a quarter mile, half mile out. You see a little flashlight here, a little flashlight there. Well, people starting to walk in. And they're hearing that bullhorn, they're starting to walk in. 20, 30 minutes later, an hour later, you see the people starting to come. And within an hour, we got 50, 60, 70 people come. And we preach them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. And it's the first time a lot of them have ever even heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The when that retired preacher invited us over for chicken, that was in the city of Sinyani, and Bill and I, we went right down Sinyani, and right down Sinyani is the square, and the square is just lined with bars on the outside of the square. And Bill and I are down there, and there's a building 40 foot tall, 40 foot wide. We thought that's the perfect place to show our video right there. So we went to the owner and asked her, and she said, you can shine that up against our building. We went to the police. We told them, you know, we're missionaries, we're preachers. We want to show a movie about Jesus Christ. And he said, well, you can do it, but, you know, that's the bar section. You know, that's the center of town. And, folks, we went there. They told us we could, so we went ahead and... Yeah, we started showing our movie up there about Christ dying for their sins, and you could hear all the music and everything playing all around, and we started showing how Jesus Christ died for their sins, and man, they just started throwing beer bottles and cursing and yelling at us, and
No,
you see, that's America.
Yeah, amen.
Those folks didn't say a word.
Amen.
They listened to that whole thing. You could have heard a needle drop, a pin drop. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they want to know how to have their sins forgiven. They want to know how to be saved. We didn't know how it would go. We thought, you know what, we'll just trust the Lord. And folks, God bless, there's hundreds and hundreds of people there watching that film. And that night right there, we also had National Baptist pastors with us. So we were able to channel the people into churches, not just let them go. So folks, it's hard to say even how many people I saved. But what a blessing it is to stand up for Jesus Christ. Amen. This is your marketplace out in the bush. It's just some poles stuck up with some gunny sacks and whatever they sell underneath them. And this is in Kodoma where our place is. And this is a pretty big-sized market. Kodoma's a pretty big town. And but folks, look at all the people. You know where Paul went, amen, to witness? He'd go to the market, amen. So folks, look at this. They have all these kiosks lined up. And these folks are there all day long. You know, that lady's sitting there all day with nothing to do. So what do? You go in there and give them the gospel, amen. Give them gospel tracts about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also make our own comic book gospel tracts and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for their sins. And here's a whole family reading about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're there to evangelize, amen. So I'm over there, and my wife didn't have her glasses on. And right in that sunspot, that's me standing right there. I'm standing right in front of that market, and I'm preaching the gospel because, bless God, if it's good enough in America, it's good enough overseas, amen. So I got up there, and I preached 20, 30 minutes right there, in, you know, pretty loud. And when I got done preaching, these two men come up to me, and they wanted to know how I could better tell them how to be saved. And folks, after I got talking to them, you see, these folks have such soft hearts. The problem with that is they'll believe anything from anybody. So what do you got to do? You got to talk to them for a while. You got to find out, you know, where they're coming from. These two men here thought you had to be a good person. They thought because they're a pretty good person, you know, they're going to heaven. But you know, folks, for all in sin, you come short of the glory of God. So we ended up talking to those two men, and those two men ended up getting saved. And here we are out in the bush, and we stopped these folks on the dirt road. They're out getting them a load of hay or grass to put on the roof of their house. They also make privacy fences out of them. But folks, this is the first time these folks have ever received anything about the Lord Jesus Christ right there. My wife's got the traditional wraparound skirt on right there. And they're really handy because a lot of them wear two of them. Then they'll take the one off and just unwound it. And then they'll put it out on the ground. You've got an instant table right there. You can have a little picnic out on the ground. And there are many uses for them. Amen. I guess if you had a skateboard, you could put it on a stick and it is a parasailing or something. But anyway, folks, they read it. Amen. Just like pretty much like a lot of third world countries, you give them the gospel tract and they'll read it right on the spot. And we get people to go right into the hospitals. That little baby had malaria. My wife and Janet go through all the hospitals and give them gospel tracts, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we walk through the cities. We just go through the cities and evangelize them, telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're averaging 1,000 tracts a day, just going through different cities and just evangelize. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for their sins. And these two men right there, I make a track. The one I got on the table right there is called MVP, you know, Most Valuable Players, about basketball. And I'm asking these two guys, I said, hey, you guys play basketball? They say, basketball?
what's basketball? Now, to me, that's funny because I've never met a black man who didn't know what basketball was, amen? But to now, if I said soccer, you see, they didn't know, but they call soccer football, so they know what that is. But here's my wife talking to these two men. See, look at that right there, folks. That's why we're there, what, to tell folks about Jesus Christ dying for their sins. And here's a man that came up to me, and he said, could you just tell me how to be saved? I want to know how to be saved. And how often you have that happen to you, amen? See, these kids, what, they're thankful. Why? Because we're there to give them the gospel. Folks care enough about them to tell them, you know, tell them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know why they're so excited, too? It's because they're just teenagers, amen? They get their picture taken. They just, you know, how kids are, amen? But here's some of the souls we got to lead to Christ while we was there. And we didn't lead all these folks to Christ, but a couple of them people just hopped in the picture because they wanted the picture taken. That man right there, when I was preaching on the street there, he had two other friends with him. I got witnessing to him. And I said to his two friends, I said, you guys are Jehovah's Witnesses. And they got upset with me and walked away. And I said, well, don't leave. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ, how he died for your sin. And they said they didn't want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He did. He said he wanted to know about the Lord and stayed there and ended up getting saved.
Amen.
That man's in the hospital and ended up getting saved. You see that little table right next to him? I'll tell you about that here in just a second. That man walked up to him and he took a gospel tract. He walked down 20, 30 yards, read the tract, and come back. And he said, I'd like to be saved. And we got to lead him to Jesus Christ. Okay, now that's Maurice on the left and that's Tendai on the right. You know what they want? They're both saved. They both love God. They want somebody to teach them the Word of God, folks. They want somebody to teach them the Word of God. So, folks, during the rainy season, by the grace of God, what we're going to do? We're going to start teaching these men the Word of God. I led that man to Christ in Kadoma, and you know what he asked me? He said, could you teach me the Word of God? And, folks, immediately, the verse come in my mind, don't cast your pearl before the swine. And so, folks, by the grace of God, when we get back during the rainy season, we're going to start Bible studies. And just take off from there and see where they go. Amen. Teaching these men the Word of God. Okay, we started Operation Zimbabwe Bible. What I didn't tell you all is that only 10% of the Christians in Zimbabwe have Bibles. Okay? Lost folks don't have Bibles. Only 10% of the Christians have Bibles. Now, the problem with that is remember when I told you that guy had a little table next to him there in the hospital? He had a Bible. It was a Gideon's New Testament. The problem was, it wasn't a Bible. That's the problem. So see, I'm only guessing that only 10% of the 10% are actually Bible. So they only have 1% in that country have Bible, folks. So what I started, we started Operation Zimbabwe Bible, and I want you to pray, Walt, that the Lord provide Bibles. All right. Now listen, God's already starting to answer that prayer because we're already in the first stages of working with Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation, and they're going to print 38,000 Bibles for us. And you see, we make our own comic book gospel tract. They're even going to put one of my comic book tracts in the back of the Bible. So they'll have a little plan of salvation and everything right there. So folks, but their requirements are that I have to pay shipping and I have to pay customs. So the customs is 10%, and those Bibles cost $98,000. So that's roughly $10,000 customs we got to pay, and then we got to come up with the money, which I'm going to guess is probably about the same price, somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 just to get it to Zimbabwe. So that's what we need prayer about, folks. Because, folks, like I said earlier, I can sit up here and I can preach and scream and spit, and folks, if they don't have the Word of God, it means nothing. They have to have the Word of God. And you know what I've learned in the last few months? God wants those folks to have Bibles. Because God's doing it, folks. God is doing it. And what I want you to pray for also is I want you to pray for me a car, some kind of SUV or something, that we can get around. Now, you see, you notice I drew that picture. You see, I can tell you drew that picture. So I'll make you guys a deal, okay? You guys pray me in a vehicle, and I'll quit drawing the cheesy pictures, okay? So that's what we need. We need Bibles. We need a vehicle. And then I didn't insert that last slide in this one. I've got three or four of these on my laptop, so I got the wrong one. I was going to have you pray for Artwork Publications. And why? Because
We make our own comic book gospel tracts. Folks, I got my own website pulled up where I got these in PDF format. Anybody in the world can go on my site and just pull this track up and print it straight from their computer anywhere in the world. And it's only a partial site. I've only got four or five tracks on there at the moment. But folks, we have tracks in Spanish. I was talking to two nationals from Cuba when I was in Miami, and I tell them about my tracks, and they said, oh yeah, we love that track. It's called El Bombero, the firefighter, because I used to be a firefighter. And it's called El Bombero. And I said, you love that track? And he said, oh yeah. You got that track? They said, yeah, we've got thousands of them. We've been passing out in Cuba. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah for that, man. Well, it's just the Lord. So just pray that the Lord, the prayer artwork publications that every family in the world will give gospel tracts about Jesus Christ. And they're all free. Amen. So anyway, that's it. So if there's any questions, anything, just feel free.
Anybody got questions for him? Right over there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of grass do you said you want to be?
It grows about that tall. I don't know what kind it is. I don't know if it's Timothy or something like that. I have no idea. It's just a tall grass about that tall. And they put it in big bundles and you just lay it out. And it's so thick and dense that the rain hits it and just runs off.
So basically it's hay?
Basically it's hay. That's it. Yep. Actually it works very well. It's free. It's just labor intensive. Any other questions? By the grace of God, my wife and I, hopefully we're going to go sometime next year to Zimbabwe, hopefully, Lord willing. So we're praying right now. Brother Rosert, the guy that we work under, he said it takes 4 months. By the time I ship anything from America, it takes 4 months before it gets to his place. So pray about that, because it's going to take 4 months to get them Bibles from America into Zimbabwe.
What kind of income do they have?
Say what now?
How much income do they make a year of it?
Not much. I think I honestly don't know, but I think like 100, the average 100 bucks a month or something. It's not much. But again, it's like any country. You got the filthy rich. Most folks are filthy poor, but then you do have the rich. Yeah. But you know, as it is, anyone who's done any amount of witnessing, poor folks receive the gospel much readily than rich folks. Rich folks don't need God. They got the money. Oh, AIDS is horrible. Yeah. Yeah. AIDS is, everybody in the country's got AIDS. Yeah, it's just a, yeah. So. Yes?
I have a question. And most of your pictures, a bunch of the kids have blue shirts. Is that something the school is doing?
School, yeah, you all wear uniforms. Yeah, none of this pants pulled down their knees and their hat on sideways. None of that junk. They got more sense than we do, probably.
A lot of missionaries that have come through here have to work around the government of the country that they're in. Do you have any interference whatsoever with the government, whatever you're doing?
Well, my rule of thumb is I stay 100% out of government. Whatever they're doing, I get as far away as I can.
So you have the freedom just to go anywhere?
I can go anywhere and preach the gospel. Anywhere. Yeah. But now you got to understand something. I'm there and I'm represented. I'm working under a man by the name of Rosert. Rosert Zinja, something like that. And he's a national pastor, and he's ahead of all the Baptists of the whole country. And to them, a Baptist is a Baptist. They don't understand Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, Bible believer, hard shell, GRABC. They don't understand all that junk. It's just a Baptist is a Baptist. And as long as I work under him, then I can do anything. They just kick. I only know there's only like three or four missionaries in the whole country that I know of. Two of them just got kicked out. It was a man and wife. They were a doctor, and his wife was a nurse. And they tried starting a church in their own house. And they kicked them out of the country. Because why? I don't know why. I guess it's because they don't want American influence to come in and try to. You see, we're getting ready to have elections. And the same guy that killed thousands and thousands and thousands of revolutions in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, he's still president. But he's 94 years old, he's dying. He's trying to get one of his wives in as president, and his own cabinet don't even want her in. So folks, it's a turmoil. But see, as long as I work under Brother Roser, then I can start churches, I can evangelize, I can preach, I've got free liberty to go anywhere and do anything. You just gotta use the right channel.
So you can train up one of these guys up doors or whatever to
Oh, no. I didn't even say this. I forgot. I'm glad you mentioned that. There's anywhere from 350 to 400 Baptist churches in Zimbabwe. Most of them don't even have a pastor. The ones that do have pastors, they don't even know if they're even saved. They don't even have, a lot of them don't even have Bibles. So folks, these 38,000 Bibles, you see, we're giving every church. That's an open door. We're getting all them people Bibles. The pastor's getting the Bible. The church members are all getting Bibles. And Brother Roser's setting up that I can go in, and we'll have like 4 or 5 day teaching seminars. Well, we'll get all these pastors together, and then I'm just teaching the Word of God. Just, you know, like we'll take 4 or 5 days and just teach the Book of Ephesians, just verse by verse. And then folks, I have wide open to evangelize these churches. I told Brother Roser, I said, I'd really like to get in and help try to strengthen these churches, because these churches they're not even built. And just simple stuff, like they don't even know, you know, they have eternal life. And just get in there and teach them the Word of God, amen. And then be able to teach these national pastors, you know, the Word of God. Folks, like I said, it's a wide open door for me. Wide open.
Where did these churches come from?
Well, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, a lot of them came from Southern Baptists. There was a man by the name of Clyde Dobson, and this man did a great work. He really did. But when the revolution happened in the 70s, they kicked all the whites out, and all the missionaries had to leave country, and the churches had just been kind of dormant, or they had a national pastor, but they don't really know nothing because they don't have Bibles, and they do what they can do with what they've got. But now, you see, they're ready. After all them years, they've been dynamited, stumped, plowed. Now they've been planted. They've been watered. Now it's ready. They're ready for the harvest. And folks, it's wide open door.
Do you come across any tribal issues? I know when the kids are out of school, they usually send back to their tribes.
No, it's not quite like that there. They're more just like everyday, everyone. It's like us right here. You got a little house a quarter mile down the road. They got a little hut a quarter mile down the road. Now, you're talking about Zimbabwe or something, you go into tribes and all that junk. As far as I know, there aren't no tribes in Zimbabwe. Everybody just runs individuals.
Anybody else?
Appreciate it. Thank you all for letting us present our ministry, Pastor. God bless you. Thank you.
Pastor Payne, why don't you have a song?